It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, and every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're so glad you've joined us.
I don't know if you've been paying attention lately to social media, but the conversations with friends concerning the press are getting downright ugly. People are getting upset about all kinds of things, and it seems like it's taking a toll on all of our relationships.
I think the whole political climate has brought that to a head, don't you, Chris?
Well, definitely.
That's part of it. The problem is this intolerance continues, and it's causing a lot of bad feelings among family and friends. I know people who are defriending people on Facebook. Yeah. Have you been doing that?
Well, I've been defriended, yes.
You've been defriended for your political positions?
Right, yeah.
And it's causing a lot of hurt feelings among people. Sometimes people are refusing to be in relationships because of the political differences and views. And there's a lot of name-calling and a lot of offense that's going around. Today, we thought we would try to clear up some of the misunderstandings about tolerance and what it means to disagree with each other respectfully. Can we get along despite our differences? And I think this is important when we're thinking about our marriages, our friendships, even our church relationships.
Right.
Our work relationships, our God relationships, it pretty much covers everything here.
I've got a neighbor, and he probably wouldn't mind being mentioned on the radio, but he is an atheist, so we know where we stand there. But lately, I think when you pile on the political differences that he and I have, he doesn't come around much anymore.
He won't talk to you?
There's that, and we are very close, but when we do get together, he's very bitter.
So it's really affected the way the two of you interact.
We can't talk about anything, because we are diametrically opposed on many issues, but in the past we were able to say, well, we can agree to disagree and, you know, move on. It's not so much like that anymore.
See, and that's a change in our culture. I remember the story in the news where a man was returning from the Trump inauguration, was on an airplane. I don't know if you heard this story, but he was sitting next to a woman who was not a Trump supporter. Okay, that's going to happen because half the population voted for Trump and half the population did not.
Exactly.
But he is our president, and she wanted him removed. We've been through lots of presidential elections, and we don't always sit next to people who voted for our candidate. But I've never heard of somebody saying, get the person off the plane and move them out of my sight. I was on an airplane not too long ago when Obama was still in office, and I sat next to this young woman. She was darling. She was a college student at a very elite university, and she was into socialism and the policies that Obama was supporting. And she had gotten back from a trip in Cuba. So she was explaining to me how phenomenal Cuba was and how the United States needs to be like Cuba. And I kind of asked her, so did your school take you to certain places?
Right, yeah.
Or were you just wandering? She goes, oh, no, it was a very structured tour.
No, it sounds like it. Yeah.
I'll tell you, we had a delightful conversation. I didn't agree with one thing she was saying. I told her that I didn't agree with her positions. I tried to get her to think a little bit, but it was very civil. There was no drama. We had good conversations, and yet we were on complete opposite sides of the aisle.
Well, you touched on something when you said you tried to get her to think a little bit. Was she open to that?
She actually was. I think it was because we were having such a civil conversation. Unlike that woman on the plane who didn't want to talk to that guy, and that guy was not chiding her or saying anything negative to her. Eventually, the police came and escorted her off the plane, which I think was a good thing. So we've seen this changing. You've seen it changing with your neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
It's been changing. I would say the last year I've really seen it rev up.
This sort of thing didn't seem to happen even a decade ago.
It didn't.
If you think about it. What do you think is the difference now that everyday relationships are so strained and conversations like on the airplane you just mentioned are so difficult to have?
I think part of it is the politics. We've elected someone who's a disruptor, whether we like him or don't like him.
Right.
And he's shaking up the status quo, and people don't know how to dialogue about a change in that direction. The talk gets to be extreme at times. It borders on a lack of reality, in my opinion. And frankly, I get scared when I see the hate that is being expressed. I think down deep, Chris, it speaks to the condition of the heart when your own views can't be tolerated and what we see is aggression and hate.
Do you think maybe social media has taken the lid off of our reservations to talk about politics. Because growing up, I remember asking my neighbor once which governor she voted for, and my mom about had a fit over that. You don't ask people who they voted
for. Oh, really?
It was a very hush-hush type thing. Well, anymore, no one cares. You argue about the trash guy.
Yeah.
He got elected. We don't like him.
Although there was a little boy who was beaten up at school because he had a Trump hat on the other day.
Right.
That is different. And I do think it's a reaction in part to political correctness
right.
that has dominated our national conversation.
So when you say that, do you mean that we've had about enough of that and it's coming out?
Yeah, I think that it's been so controlled. There's been such an attempt to control the speech of people. The heart is what's the problem here. And yet government is coming in and saying, we're going to make you talk the right way. And that's going to take care of the problem. And as a result of that, we don't have these conversations where we practice anymore, where we're practicing how to be different. We used to go into our workplaces and talk about our differences in politics or what we felt about sports teams or any kind of difference in people. And it didn't end up in this anger and aggression. I think that the labels that are put on people when they disagree as a result of the political correctness movement, that somehow this hostility that you are a bigot, you're terrible, you're a hater, that's been very polarizing and it's created this unsafe climate.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we add to that the higher education
right.
influence that people have had, where critical thinking on our college campuses, I think, has been shut down with this speech control idea. It's one direction. There's a liberal position on our college campuses, and if you don't agree with that, you're not allowed to express your opinions in some classrooms without worrying about your grade.
Wow.
There's something wrong with that. We need to pick this apart, and we want to do this a little bit in our conversation today and see how we can get back to disagreeing but not having these extreme outcomes.
You're right, Dr. Linda. Our hope today is to get a better understanding of what it means to be tolerant and, for that matter, to agree to disagree.
Yes.
There's a song about that from the 70s that says, let's leave it alone. We can't see eye to eye.
I know that song.
No good guy. There's no bad guy.
It's just you and me, and we just disagree.
We just disagree.
That's
right. It's not that big of a deal.
And there's nothing wrong with disagreement when it's done properly.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be challenged in our thinking, don't we? We want the input of others. And we want to be able to take a position that's based on our biblical principles, whether it lines up with the cultural think or not. I want to be challenged.
Mm-hmm.
I want to imitate Christ in everything I do. And I want to check my actions and my thoughts against the Word of God. Sometimes I need help. Other people are a big part of that.
Mm-hmm. We've done shows dealing with conflict and civility before. But on this show, we want to have a really good idea of what tolerance means in our relationships specifically. The political climate has distorted that. Let's begin with a definition of tolerance.
Let's do this before the break. Let's talk about what tolerance is. The word presumes disagreement. Mm-hmm. And today, it also implies a non-judgmental acceptance of all perspectives. That's the new part.
Wow.
When you believe in an objective measure of the truth like the Bible, you're often portrayed as narrow-minded and bigoted and intolerant. That's a wrong definition. When we come back, let's pick apart that definition of tolerance. You've got an 18th century dictionary definition when we come back.
That's right.
That's right. So let's look at that, because tolerance has been redefined and we want to get back to the original definition.
Hey, it's Chris Weigel here. If you missed the Dr. Linda Mental Show, you can catch up by reading her blogs or listening to her podcasts on the MyFaithRadio.com website.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Are your priorities all out of line? Are you running through the kitchen because the sight of dishes in the sink is more than you can bear? Or avoiding the laundry room for fear a pile of dirty jeans will jump up and grab you? Are extra hours spent at work or outside commitments taking a toll on your home and family? Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor. And if this sounds anything like your house, you may have a priority problem. Getting your priorities in line might feel like trying to rein in a bucking bronco, but it can be done. Here are a few keys. Take small steps. Don't try to attack laundry and housekeeping all at once. Spread the work out and enlist the help of family members. And don't put things off. Piling another dish and a cup in the sink won't help. Instead, try and stay ahead by handling cleaning up more regularly. Look, we all have occasions when we have to hurry off and leave a job or two undone. But if this is your habit, you may need a priority adjustment, and you can do it one step at a time.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today we're discussing how to truly be tolerant in our relationships, but not to compromise our convictions. Have disagreements with respect and civility. And I want to remind our listeners that Dr. Linda has written a terrific book that helps us practically manage our differences. It's called We Need to Talk. And Dr. Linda, before the break, I had an 18th century definition of tolerance. Here's Samuel Johnson's 18th century dictionary definition of tolerance that's been the standard until this century. His definition of tolerance goes like this: a fair, objective, and permissive attitude toward those whose opinions, practices, race, religion, nationality, etc., differ from one's own. It's freedom from bigotry. And then definition number two: interest in and concern for ideas, opinions, practices, etc., foreign to one's own, a liberal, undogmatic viewpoint.
We've strayed from that definition.
Wow.
Big time.
Yes,
that is
sure.
Not the way people are defining tolerance today.
Right. And two key words that were mentioned earlier in this definition were tolerance and conviction. How do you reconcile the two?
This is a good distinction to make, Chris, because to hold a conviction, you have to believe something is true. If you don't believe anything's true, you have no convictions. Mm. If I sincerely consider everyone's beliefs, their lifestyles, their truth, equal to my own, even when they contradict my own beliefs and lifestyles and truth claims, I can't have a conviction.
Right.
Because everything is the same. How do you have a conviction out of that when everybody's thoughts and beliefs are all the same? That's not based on a real notion of truth, which is a biblical notion. And so part of what's happened is that we've gone away from this idea that we have convictions. And to that point, I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says, a tolerant man, and this is under that old definition, meant someone who'd respect us and treat us kindly, even if he disagreed with us. But if tolerance today means that we're believing that all beliefs are equal, then any claim to have discovered absolute truth gets labeled intolerant.
Right.
So that's the problem. We're always labeled intolerant as Christians because we believe that there are truths in the Bible that we have to live by.
James 3 talks about the power of the tongue, and I find my tongue generally gets me in trouble.
I don't think you're alone in that.
Right.
I think all of us have to work on the things that come out of our mouth, especially since we live in a culture where everybody's encouraged on social media to say anything they want to say, and they never have to face the people or talk to them directly. I think that has reinforced more and more bad talk in people.
For
don't
sure.
you?
Honestly, if it weren't for Facebook, who would I be so vocal to? I see some
true.
Things on Facebook that I generally wouldn't say to a crowd of people.
And think about how we're all doing that. We have spoken things that we regret, not only on social media, but even in our daily interactions with people, because our tongue gets us in trouble. And I know I've said things that I wish I could take back.
Right.
I don't want to be disparaging people, even if I don't agree with them. Mm. Well, James 3, like you mentioned, tells us that we can praise our Lord and Father, but we can also curse our brothers and sisters who have been made in the likeness of God. that's a good point to stop on. Those people that we don't agree with, that are at times being hateful to us, are also made in the likeness of God. And we have to think like Jesus thinks, that Jesus loves those people as much as he loves us.
And I think we don't realize how much we need God to help us harness our tongue. And we have to ask for help in this issue.
And I'm trying to be more mindful of that. I'm trying to this year be more mindful of what comes out of my mouth so that I don't say things and then have to later regret them. But I think that because we were talking about how slander has become an acceptable norm of our culture, that Christians are often guilty of joining in with that.
Right.
If you look at social media, sometimes Christians can be the worst. Yes. We should not be doing that. We need to check our words before we speak and ask the Lord to help us bless that person and think of a way to bless that person rather than curse that person.
By extension, your fingers are your tongue as well when you're typing away on your phone with a snarky message.
Good point.
It may not just be your tongue. It can make it down to your hands as well.
Yeah, that's true.
With the environment that we live in now, it should be a challenge for us to watch our mouths, especially in the coming days, because this probably will continue. And for our faith, we will be attacked.
I think it's going to rev up. I think it's going to get more divisive unless Jesus does a work in people's hearts. But listen to Psalm 19:14, because this is a guiding scripture for us today, especially. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Hmm.
We're going to have to be so intentional with that kind of teaching of our kids, because they're going to hear this in the culture. They're going to see it all the time. They're going to say, hit back if somebody hits you. Don't be a wimp. Here's the deal. Ultimately, we are to love our enemies. We're going to go back to this. What is the solution? It's not better politicians. It's not nicer media. It's a transformed heart. Our actions are going to reflect a heart change or the lack of one. I love Martin Luther King's reaction of nonviolence to the hate that he experienced. That could only come from God in him. If you watch what happened to the people in the civil rights, and they sat there and they took this and they took a nonviolent approach, there's no way in the flesh that you could do that.
Mm.
Here's what King says, one of my favorite quotes. Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend.
That is definitely true and powerful. How do we rein in our actions?
Our actions are equally important. It's not what you say, but it is also what you do. A lot of times what we do has to do with how we're thinking and what we're really wanting to say. So they're connected. But 1 Peter 2:12 tells us, keep your conduct honorable. This business of being so intolerant because somebody thinks differently than you, these are symptoms of a culture that needs the transforming power of Christ.
Right.
Maybe more than ever to deal with this disunity.
We're talking about true tolerance, which includes holding on to our convictions as well. And more to come after the break. We'll be right back.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Everyone worries, don't they? Well, just listen to the nightly news or read the economic forecast or even talk to your family. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental. Opportunities to worry present themselves many times during our day. So why would God tell us not to worry when it almost seems like it's impossible? First, he knows the physical damage worry does to our bodies. Second, he wants to calm us down by taking the burden of control away from us. Hey, we don't have control, no matter how much we think we do. He does. And third, he wants us to trust him. The root of worry is doubting God. Doubt is not trusting that God is who he says he is, or he will do what he says he will do. So every day, take your worries to God. Rehearse his goodness, accept his grace, and walk in the confidence that he is in control and he's working all things for your good. Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits. Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
Hi, I'm Chris Weigel, co-host of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And if you want to share a thought with Dr. Linda, just tweet at Dr. Linda Mental. You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And if you just joined us, we're talking about true tolerance, which includes holding on to our convictions as well. I want to remind you that Dr. Linda has written an incredible book. It's called We Need to Talk, that helps us all navigate our differences with each other in a very biblical way. And Dr. Linda, I know we've talked before about this, but remind us how to deal with holding a conviction and then being accused of judging someone, because this is what people throw back at us. You're just being judgmental.
Jesus did not say that we aren't to judge what is sin or call sin sin. It's important for us to remember. He does say that we shouldn't be hypocritical.
Right.
So in other words, when we aren't sticking to our biblical convictions, we have no business calling others out. And this is what he warns us in Matthew 7. He says to first look at our own behavior before we're even qualified to look at what others do. And that's that scripture. Why do you see the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly enough to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. And so without this self-examination and repenting of our own sin, what Jesus is saying is it's wrong to call others out. This is not a verse about never judging sin, but it is a verse about removing hypocrisy.
That's true. And I think we both believe that our ability to be truly tolerant of others requires a change of heart, which is what Jesus was talking about in that verse. Let's talk more about that. How successful have we been trying to legislate tolerance?
I think we probably get about an F in that category.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly
working too well, is it? I think we've had enough of the experiment of trying to have government control our speech in order to make sure people get along. In fact, I think, Chris, it's making things worse. We're more divided now. We're more polarized now than we've ever been. And everybody's constantly offended by every little thing. Instead of helping us, the speech police are dividing us.
Right.
This is reason to look for a new solution. And why is it that we always look in the wrong places? We look for all these other solutions. We're trying to legislate how people think, legislate how people deal with people, but we're not looking at our heart.
Right.
And we're not looking at faith as a response to a true solution to helping people.
I saw a Facebook meme a couple of days ago. This guy has this big happy look on his face. He says, good morning, what will we be offended by today?
That's about right.
Right.
But do we ever look at the spiritual solution to this problem in our culture? Not very often.
No, we don't. God has shown us tremendous mercy. Our nation continues to ignore the need for more of God in our culture. And you're talking about the spiritual level here. That's dangerous.
I think it is. I think especially since it's the only way we're going to live in peace with each other, which is part of what we are trying to do in our culture. Our land needs healing. And I'm reminded of that scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then they will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I'm going to heal their land. There's the promise, Chris.
Sounds like heart surgery.
I'm calling for heart surgery.
Heart surgery, okay.
And I want it performed by the great physician. Our nature is sinful and we need a heart of flesh to be changed into a heart that has been transformed by God. This is the only way that people will truly tolerate each other while holding on to their convictions. I don't see any other real solutions here. It's good to watch our speech. I'm not saying that. It's good to be respectful and be very tolerant of differences. We can continue to work on these things, but lasting change is going to require a heart transformation.
You know, one thing you can tell in someone about transformation is their fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about that in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
And that list describes how a person can be tolerant of others. Look at the list of that.
Right.
Peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness. You can hold on to your convictions, but you can still evidence that fruit of love in your life. And when there's a heart change, what happens is we bear the fruit of love. And those characteristics make it possible for us to love the unlovely and for us to love those people who disagree with us and who may even disagree with us violently.
That's true. Sounds like we are now, instead of heart surgery, calling for a spiritual revival.
Well, I think it's both. First, we have to have surgery in the heart, and then we need revival in our land. This is so needed, and I think we all need to pray to that end, that at this time, when God's great mercy has been given to us, that our hearts will be changed, that the love of God will be experienced by many, and that the Spirit will draw all men and women to His great love. True tolerance comes from allowing Christ to make us into a new creation and to follow Him in this great journey of life. The message today is hold fast to your convictions. Stand for Christ. Know what the Bible says. Be literate in the Bible and hold on to those truths, but do it with great love, because that in the end is what's going to bring true unity and true peace to the people in our country. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our social media director, Cody Gokenhauer, and our post-producer, Chris Underation. And thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mental Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.